Nothing says Christmas like a water buffalo. For a poor family in Asia, getting a water buffalo is like getting a farm tractor to pull a plow. Or getting a milk truck full of delicious milk. Or getting a stand at the market to sell cheese. A water buffalo opens the door for work, food, and income. More importantly, it opens the door to talk about Jesus. And nothing says Christmas better than that.
Join Truth Network in supporting Gospel for Asia. Give today at truthnetwork.com and click on the Christmas Critter campaign.
This is Darren Kuhn with the Masculine Journey podcast, where we search the ancient paths to find ways that God brings light into a dark world and helps set men free from the struggles that we all face on a day-to-day basis. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Once a world champion wrestler, now a champion for Christ. Once the Russian nightmare, now the devil's worst nightmare. And your tag team partner, Nikita Koloff. It's time to man up.
Welcome back. Another episode of the Man Up Show with Nikita Koloff, the devil's nightmare. And part two, if you tuned in last week, you heard a phenomenal backdrop story of the legendary man himself, Mr. Tully Blanchard of the Four Horsemen, and we've got him back for another episode. Tully, welcome back to the Man Up Show.
Well, it's a thrill to be here. You're making me talk about a bunch of stuff that I hadn't thought about for years and years. So,
What's great about that is, like, you know, the fans out there, we got a lot of wrestling fans that listen to this podcast, and it's actually a radio show as well. It's a radio show and a podcast. That's great because many of them may not know some of these things. You know, where we kind of ended and on part one is, you know, you were in this tournament transitioning your dad's territory. And you talked about, you ended on, hey, give me the belt. So we left on a cliffhanger. So give the fans, give the listeners the rest of that story. Did you get the belt, not get the belt? What happened?
Oh no! They gave me the belt because he couldn't continue, and it was kind of a not very sportsmanlike gesture to take the belt when a guy gets injured on a accidental move,
right?
Not intentional,
right?
And it started my path down being a bad guy, which I was a pretty good bad guy.
And I'm not saying that because I got you on the show. You were one of the best of the best, and I'm excited to, when we kind of fast forward a little bit and get to my introduction to actually meeting you in wrestling. But yeah, you were, like, for real. When people ask or interview me, you know, you were, as far as I was concerned, one of the consummate inside the ring, and you said on the first show you went to Florida to perfect your craft. You went to the Carolinas to learn, you know, even perfect it more, and you did. In my view, anyway, you did. So yeah, you became one of the best of the bad guys.
And I appreciate that. The goal every night back in those days was to make people scream, and they didn't scream when their heroes were getting beat up. They screamed when the bad guys were getting beat up.
Right.
So, and having the ability to make all that happen, the wrestling business is way past my knowledge. Excuse me, nowadays, but back in the day when, you know, we went out there and did stuff and did it for 20 minutes, did it for 30 minutes, did it for...
an hour, right?
Hour at times. I wasn't the king of the hours, but I have done some hours.
Yeah.
That were life-changing. Quick story, I wrestled Dory Funk Jr. back when I was a babyface, he was the world champion, and we went an hour. And there's a very, very humbling experience when the world champion at 30 minutes is slapping you on the back of the head, telling you to get up, kid.
Was your tongue like dragging? Because I know mine was a few times against Flair. In those hour matches, right? You're like gassed, right?
Killed me. And that changed my whole, it changed my whole career.
Yeah.
Because I was never out of shape then after that.
Right.
I got in shape.
Right.
I stayed in shape. And that was the start of the free squats and the step ups and the
get up, kid.
All the other stuff that I did. But, oh my gosh. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. And still had 30 minutes to go.
I can. I'm laughing because I was there. I was in
there. You've been there.
I've been there. Yeah. So and oh my goodness, right? You're like, I don't think I could go on. But so well, let's talk about. So you had it. You really did have a legendary career. And you know, I know you wrestled in a number of different territories. And where I would meet you was in the Jim Crockett territory, the Mid Atlantic. And in the mid 80s let me ask how many different territories did so you wrestle Florida, Crockett's down in your dad's promo, how many different territories
and then back and then I my brother had gotten killed in 1978 and I pretty much got out of wrestling.
Okay.
Our business was we weren't doing things right. My dad was devastated. No end. And it was a very, very hard time for us.
Yeah.
And so I tried to sell cars for a while, and then I'd make San Antonio and make Corpus Christi and sell cars and stay married. Didn't work and ended up getting a divorce. And so I needed I bought a house and I needed to make money to pay the house payment.
Right.
And the quickest thing and the quickest way that I could make money would be in the wrestling business, because I had, my craft had gotten good enough that I could be on top.
Right.
And so I got booked in Kansas City in December of 1983. Christmas Day I started, and I worked there for a month, and they had me in a thing with Buzz Tyler, and he was a very good in the ring performer.
Yeah.
And so we were in St. Louis at the big show, and we went out and did, I think, a 20-minute something, or I forget, but we had a great match and the people responded gigantically. And so Crockett was there. Dory Funk Jr. was now his booker.
Okay.
And he invited me to go out for drinks in the Marriott, at the Marriott, Airport Marriott in St. Louis. And so the only time that I've really ever told anybody that I thought I was good, I told Crockett, I said, Jimmy, if you hire me, I'll make you a lot of money.
Hmm.
And, he said, we've been drinking and we'll talk about it let us talk about it and we'll get back to you next week.
Yeah.
So they called me on Monday and offered me a job. So I gave my 2-week notice to the Kansas City territory and flew back to San Antonio, loaded up my stuff, my car, and drove to North Carolina.
I know that what that's like. Yeah.
and North Carolina, I thought, was booming like it was in 77 when I was there. And in 84, it wasn't booming.
Right.
And, wow. So, anyway, but they gave me a push, and Wahoo was there, and it took us from February to August. August was, we switched Wahoo heel, and he and I were partners, and we wrestled Mulligan and Flair in a bull rope, Indian strap match bull rope thing, and sold Greensboro Coliseum out. And that was the turnaround point for the company. And then they switched bookers and hired Dusty. And then that's when the things, all the stuff that you got involved with.
Yeah, things started turning.
After that.
Yeah, I came into the territory in June of 84. Things started turning, and you know, for your career, Tully, one of the most often I hear mentioned is the I Quit match against Magnum TA, and does that rank up there for you? Like when people say, "Hey, what are some of your most memorable matches?" Or does that rank up there as one of them?
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net. and donate today.
Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are not number one.
Yeah, because it's the most I got paid for a single match.
Well, there you go. That's memorable.
You know, and
right.
even though it was, I was underpaid, but it was still the most I ever got paid for one single match.
Right.
And it, you know, the culmination and the audience and the whole thing that went in with it. I mean, he and I probably had better matches during the summer when he beat me up all over the country and, you know, those kind of things. But the Greensboro Coliseum has its nostalgia.
Yep,
and its place in the wrestling world, and certainly was a big deal.
And, yeah, for sure.
And so that was... That was great. I think probably the War Games was a phenomenal match.
The match beyond.
Yeah, and you know, some of those matches were great. And then Arn and I, when I ended up becoming Arn's tag partner in the Horseman thing. You know, we had some matches with Rock and Roll, and
yep.
Then when we went to New York and with Marty and Sean, and that were classics.
Well, and I say this, Tully, about about you know the Horsemen, and again, this is just in my view of things, and being a part of that era, and now looking back on it. That I've often said, and when others are interviewing me, I've said, you know, I talk about the Four Horsemen. What was amazing in my view is that it didn't matter what combination of you guys. I mean, it could have been a single match, a tag, like you said, you and Arn or whoever, a tag, a six-man, an eight-man, and ultimately the War Games. But any combination of you guys or even an individual single match, I knew it was going to be a great night. I knew it was going to be a great match. It was going to be a great night because every one of you, in my view, had perfected your craft. And then the combination... The combination of all you guys and the stories, and it's just left a lasting impression on the fans that all these years later, Tully, they still talk about it, right? They still talk about it, and so that's pretty amazing. So, do you have any favorite memories? A couple memories. I know you mentioned the War Games. Any other favorite memories that you come to mind about the Horsemen?
Oh gosh, every night was I'm sorry for the background. I'm sitting in at Boston University in their arena for the matches tonight at AEW, and I guess they jumped up their audio. Is it too loud for your background?
It was a little bit. I think you're fine now. Yeah, it was. They must have been testing it. But give us one or two quick Four Horsemen.
Well, the
favorite
Horsemen
memories.
Thing. The thing about the Horsemen thing. I mean, you look at 40 years after the fact, 30 years after the fact, and Arn and I, Barry, with or without Flair, we have a line of people, and that's kind of unheard of.
Right.
And the wrestling, as I've tried to tell people, nobody sat around in a room and said, oh, we want to call these guys the Four Horsemen.
Right.
Arn just spewed it out on an interview, and it caught a hold, and it was fan-generated, and that's why it had such success, and it was long-givity. Is that too loud? I could move backstage.
Yeah, if you could move, I guess they're testing their announcers, right? Which is classic for the listener.
Yeah,
they're like, oh my gosh, she's like actually at the live show. Or what? That's pretty cool for our listeners, though. So,
well, the live show is going to be in a little bit.
I gotcha. So you were just saying any combination, but 40 plus years removed, they're still standing in line for you guys, which makes an incredible statement for all of you, and it really does. Let me ask you this. So, because you mentioned you and Arn become a tag team, you go to New York. I want our fans, I want our listeners to hear this part of your story as well. Some know, some don't. You're in New York, you have a run there, but there was a point in time where things kind of, I will say it this way, kind of unraveled in your life, and can you transition us into what happened?
Well, it was, I mean, we were working like insane schedules, and we were wrestling 14, 15 days in a row and have a day off, and then things weren't being told to us, or they were not living up to the things that were told to us. And so we wrestled in Madison, Wisconsin, and I ran into some girls and bought some cocaine from one of the waitresses and sent the girls to the bathroom to have a party and then see where things led the rest of the night. And they brought a little bit of the cocaine back in a bag. And so I just licked on the bag and didn't think anything of it. It wasn't enough stuff to even think about getting high on. And jumped on the plane at 6 a.m. We had to wrestle in the Spectrum at 2. And they had a drug test. And what people don't understand, the only drug they tested for was cocaine, because cocaine didn't mix well with steroids. And so I ended up, 2 weeks later, I found out that I had tested positive for that small amount of cocaine, and I was told to turn my tickets in and go home. I was in Rochester, Illinois, and so I figured that that wouldn't be that big of an issue because cocaine was pretty commonplace in those days with either company. And we had talked to WCW about hiring Arn and I and reforming the Four Horsemen. And they agreed to that, and they were going to pay us $750,000 each to do that. And then the drug thing happened, and then they reneged on the deal with me and didn't hire me, and they hired Arn at a much lesser amount, which lets you know about the quality of the people at WCW.
Right.
And
integrity, yeah.
So anyway, so I was, when Flair called me at 1 o'clock in the morning and told me that they'd reneged on the deal, I hung up the phone and I had paralysis.
Kind of rock bottom, hit rock bottom, so to speak.
Oh, that's way past rock bottom. I'd never been unemployed in my life, and I was 35, and here I didn't have a job, and I didn't have a high paying job. I didn't have anything. And I laid in my bed and tried to go to sleep and couldn't, and I couldn't move, and I just laid there. And at 4:03 in the morning, I said, "Jesus, take over my life." And that was not my dialogue at that time of my life.
Right.
And instantly when I said that, there was a calmness that came over me that I had never felt before.
Mm.
And when I said it, I looked at the clock. That's why I know it was 4:03 in the morning.
Right.
And I fell asleep, and I woke up the next day and didn't think there was any way possible that I wouldn't be back in the wrestling business. But I had a calmness about it, and I went to church and started fast forward learning about what a relationship with Christ is about. And it was amazing. It was amazing when you didn't drink every night, and it was amazing when you didn't get high and you wake up sober and wake up early and are happy about it, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's now been over 32 years.
Wow. 32 and, years.
Yeah, November 13th will be my anniversary from 89 to 21.
I call it a spiritual birth, your spiritual birthday. But
yep.
Wow.
And
okay.
You know, it was
life changing.
I can remember you and I driving to West Virginia.
I was going to ask you about
you
that.
All day.
Yes. You were sharing. I was going to ask. I thought about that on my drive to the studio today. I'm like, I wonder if he remembers when he was sharing his story with me. I was as lost as a white goose in a snowstorm, and you and I were riding together. I think we were working against each other on an indie show.
I think an independent show.
And we just rode up together to West Virginia, and you were sharing your story. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. You know, like, I'm happy for you, Tully. That's great. That's awesome. But well, we just got a few minutes. These shows just fly by, Tully. We just got a few minutes left, but I did want people to hear that part of the story. And so here's the deal, though. You planted some seed that day in that car on that trip to West Virginia that ultimately, just 4 years later, 1993 for me, led to my salvation, 17 October 1993. And but just in our last couple minutes here, you've been involved very heavily in prison ministry over the years, and currently on staff at John Hagee's Church in San Antonio, right? Cornerstone?
Correct.
And
right.
So heading up a lot. How many, real quick, how many prisons have you been in? Do you even have any idea how many prisons you've ministered in?
I have done, with Bill Glass's ministry, I've done over 350 weekends. And each one of those weekends would have five or six facilities in it. And so that's a whole bunch of
prisons
that I've been in. I've been to almost every county jail in a major city except New York City.
I haven't been
to Rikers Island, but I've been in L.A., I've been in Miami, I've been in Atlanta, I've been in Dallas, I've been in Houston, and many other medium-sized jails.
Wow.
And I was with Bill Glass on their staff from 01 to 09, and then I was from 13 to 16 again. And then in 2017, I got a phone call from a friend of mine that asked me to go to lunch with Pastor John and Pastor Matt Hagee. And they wanted me to put together a prison and jail ministry for
them.
That's
awesome.
And I started there in August have been on staff ever since.
Well,
and that the neat thing, and I hope we have time to get this in, Nikita, is the wrestling business has been, God has shut the door every time anything about the wrestling business came up in my life.
Right.
And for the last 30 years. And I got, Cody Rhodes invited me to do a thing 3 years ago with AEW, and I prayed the same prayer. Lord, if this is not where I'm supposed to go, slam the door shut.
Yep.
Make it very obvious that this is not what I'm supposed to do. And so I went and did it and went and did it and went and did it. And I was praying that prayer every time. And the thing that lets me know that this is a move of God, and I won't know for maybe many years, but the church lets me come to AEW once a week.
Right.
And like tomorrow morning, I jump on a plane at 5 o'clock and fly back to San Antonio. And when I land, I'll grab my car and drive to the church and go back to work. And so they let me do that. AEW flies me a lot of times back to San Antonio so I can go to work and keep my day job.
Yep.
And for the harmony of both of those worlds to be making it happen.
Yep.
is still a little bit amazing.
Yep.
To me.
Yep.
But you know, and the guys that are just like you and I driving down the road here, that I don't get up and preach to anybody, but the guys, you know, you get them alone at catering, you get them alone here, and somebody asks you a question, and
your faith.
I mean, bam.
Well,
rock and roll.
Yeah, we're in our last minute here, but I'd summarize that to say for the listeners out there, as you and I spoke about doing, recording these shows and having these shows, is that I'm thrilled that you and Stinger are there with AEW, and let's face it, it is a ministry, like you just said. It is a ministry. You guys are salt and light in that world and planting seeds, and like you said, it could be many years before you see the fruit of your labor. But let me just say this in closing, Tully, please be careful. Come on, man. Watch the metal chairs, okay? And don't be flying off top ropes and all that kind of stuff, all right? Come on. So
I'm too old for that stuff.
Well, come on. Well, listen, thank you so much for being on the show, Tully. I hope I know our listeners will be thrilled with your story, and great to have you on, Tully. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and appreciate you and what your life stands for, Nikita. And it was we made money even though you did beat the crap out of me.
We didn't talk a whole lot about it. I guess maybe we'll have to have you back another time and talk more specifically about that and even more specifically about your ministry. But, hey, tune in for another episode of the Man Up Show, and thanks for dialing in today. Legendary Four Horsemen, Tully Blanchard. God bless you.
Men, I would like to challenge each of you to consider spending 5 days with Lex Luger and I at Man Camp, pursuing the heart of God. Ladies, if you're listening, we'll send your men home better equipped to be men of God, godly husbands, and godly fathers. If that appeals to you, give them your blessing and encourage them to sign up today at mancamp.info. Pastors, if you would like to bring Koloff for Christ Ministries and Man Up Conference to your community, go to koloff.org and email me. Remember this, it's time to man up.
Nikita Koloff, the Russian Nightmare here for Crescent Automotive. If buying a car is a nightmare for you, my friends, Brian and Jamie Johnson at Crescent Automotive make it simple to find your pre-owned dream car with no hassle, affordable windshield pricing. No matter where you live, they will get your American dream car to you, baby. DriveCrescent.com is all you need to know. Their whole inventory is right there with the right price. Everybody drives a Crescent. You should too. DriveCrescent.com.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.